high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I am live with you today. We're going to relearn some things about DNA, about how DNA works, what it is, the comparison of DNA to the Bible, and it's probably, and then where I'm going to end up. I have an objective here. The end game, the end objective to what I'm going to do over this broadcast and the next one I do. Now, let me explain that. Thursday, I have an appointment at 11 o'clock, and I have to be at that appointment. Now, I don't know that I'll be able to get back here in time for Pastor Mike Online. So, I will either do a live broadcast tomorrow, or I will, when I'm done with my appointment, I will record a broadcast and send it out either Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, whichever. Because I want to finish this, because I'm going to end up answering a very important question. And if it wasn't important, I wouldn't deal with it. But I think it's very, very important, because several people have asked me this question. And the question is, right now there are two companies that have been put in the Operation Warp Speed program that President Trump initiated to get a vaccine for the COVID virus. Now, the question is, is that vaccine okay for born-again, Bible-believing Christians to take? Now, I'm going to say this at the start today, and I'm going to say it at the start of the next broadcast, and I'm going to probably repeat it. Some of you out there are totally anti-vaccine. Now, I have been honest with you over the years. When I first went to Kenya in 2011, I ended up, seemed like it was probably close to 10, maybe 12, maybe 6, maybe I don't remember the number. But there was quite a few vaccines that I had to get before I could go to Kenya. Now, for me, they were worth it, because I wanted to go minister to the people of Kenya. And that was in 2011. So far, I've not turned into a barking dog, a wild beast. I've not gotten cancer. I didn't get mercury poisoning. Haven't had my DNA altered. Nothing negative has happened to me in the 9 years since I received all those vaccinations. When I was a child, My mom made sure I got all the vaccines that I, as a child of the 60s and the 70s, should have gotten. Okay? Now, let me say this concerning vaccines. Vaccines have, when they were first developed, literally saved millions of lives. People were dying of smallpox and polio, or they were being crippled by polio. And because of the development of vaccines that fight off smallpox and polio, those two diseases have almost been eradicated. Now, on the opposite side, back in the 70s, we had a similar situation, and my sinuses are swollen tight, so I'm having to speak slow and breathe a lot. Back in the 70s, my mom received the swine flu vaccine. If some of you remember that, there was a flu going around called the swine flu, and my mother received the swine flu vaccine, and it almost killed her. It almost crippled her. Okay? I don't know all the details. I haven't talked to her about it. But I remember as a child that she had some very, very serious issues with receiving what turned out to be a bad vaccine. So, number one, I am not endorsing every vaccine in the world, past, present, and future. I'm not. I also cannot condemn any vaccine whatsoever, past, present, or future, simply because it's a vaccine. Now, some people are convinced that vaccines are not for them. Now, I don't want to defile your conscience. I would not do that. It's like the illustration that Paul gave with eating meat. There's some people, Paul was addressing this, and he said, you know, eating meat offends my brother. And I don't want to defile his conscience. So if I'm around him, I don't eat meat. Okay, it's that simple. Some people, their conscience, they don't have a television set. I don't tell everybody you have to have a television set. You don't have to. Same way with vaccines. Some people have chosen not to take vaccines of any kind, and that's your choice, and I do not condemn that choice. I don't tell anybody that you have to go get vaccinated to be a Christian. I would never say anything like that. But to address the issue of whether or not a vaccine is a sin, I will address that issue, because the Bible defines for us what is a sin in no uncertain terms. And I'll take the time to put the verses up on the screen for you. The first one, let me do this, is James chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now, there are people out there who make up sins. For instance, me ask the question, is chewing tobacco a sin? Is it a sin to put chewing tobacco under your cheek and gum? Is that a sin? Well, some might say, well, it delivers nicotine. Nicotine's a drug. So is caffeine. Some say, well, it's not good for your body. It violates the temple. Well, Jesus said, we're not defiled by what goes in the body. We're defiled by what comes out of the body. Is chewing tobacco or smoking tobacco specifically mentioned in the scriptures? No. Now, you might say, well, it wasn't around back then. That doesn't work with me. Does not God know that back in the days of Moses that people eventually would end up smoking tobacco? Did not God know that? Yes. And if God wanted to forbid the use of tobacco of any kind in any way, he would have wrote it in the Bible. You see, sin is always listed in the Bible. There's another verse. So we have sin is a transgression of the law. God gave us the laws. It's no uncertain terms. We know we can read the Old Testament. We can know what a sin is. There is another verse. Whatsoever is not of faith. And I'll have to, let's see here. Yeah, Romans 14:23. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, faith in what? Faith in the news telling you the truth? No. Faith in the government? No. Faith in churches? No. Faith in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And we are saved by grace through what? Faith. So if a person doesn't have faith, that is a sin, and grace cannot be applied to someone who does not believe what God said. Bottom line is, there is nothing in the scriptures that I can see that forbids getting shots, vaccinations, things like that. I do not see in the scriptures that all vaccines are evil. And all vaccines or any kind of vaccine whatsoever is a sin. I don't see it in the scriptures. Now, so again, if you are just against vaccines in general as a way of life, the way some people don't eat pork or some people don't eat, you know, certain foods, if you want to hold to the dietary laws of the Old Testament, God bless you. You're more than welcome to. But that is by your choice and your liberty in Christ to do so, but not by commandment, because the New Testament makes it very, very clear that by prayer and thanksgiving, the foods, even though they would have been considered unclean under the Old Testament law, are sanctified by prayer and thanksgiving. So even eating pork now, as long as I receive it with prayer and thanksgiving and faith, God didn't change the law. He cleans that which was unclean. And he made that very, very, very clear. So, now, let's, because I'm, and I can't, I don't want to give you the answer now, because I want it, I'm going to build up to it. We're going to explain DNA, because the accusation by thousands of YouTube videos and blog sites is that the COVID vaccine is a Bill Gates conspiracy to give everybody the mark of the beast. And I have said it before, and I said, write this down on this date. I'm telling you 100%, absolutely, without any doubt in my mind whatsoever, that the COVID vaccine is not the mark of the beast. And I stand by that statement. I stand by that. Now, rather than just saying, you believe what I tell you to believe, I'm going to do what a responsible man of God should do. I'm going to go line upon line, here a little, there a little, compare spiritual things with spiritual things. I'm going to go through the scriptures. I'm going to show you most of what I know about DNA, about how it works, about how difficult it is to permanently alter DNA, because that's the accusation, is that any COVID vaccine is going to rewrite your DNA, including the two vaccines that are on the forefront of Operation Warp Speed. The accusation against both of those vaccines is it will rewrite your DNA. Now, I don't know if anybody else came up with the idea that rewriting your DNA was bad, but I know I did. I know from reading the scriptures and learning what I did about DNA and learning how it was related to the Word of God, that rewriting your DNA is a bad thing. Revelation chapter 22, you can't add to the words of the book, you can't take away from the words of the book, you can't alter the words of the book. God doesn't alter the thing that comes out of his mouth. So I understand that I am at least in part responsible for the idea that the mark of the beast, I think, is going to involve some sort of DNA change. Okay? So I'm going to spend some time with you giving you the rules, biblical rules, of how DNA works, of how DNA makes the things of our body, and how difficult it is to actually alter, permanently alter DNA. And I'll say this now, and I'll reinforce it with the evidence here in a little bit. Every day that you live, the forces of nature around you alter DNA in certain of your cells in the tens of thousands of times every single day. Just walking outside, solar radiation is going into your body, and it's corrupting DNA in certain of your cells. So does going outside turn you into the beast? Or does it give you the mark of the beast? Does the sun give you the mark of the beast? No. Does certain chemicals in foods give you the mark of the beast? No. Okay? So, and I'll explain this as I go. But let's go back to DNA school. Okay, over the next couple of days, I'm going to answer the question, can a Christian receive, and the term used is mRNA vaccine, because that's the two companies. They both have mRNA vaccines against the COVID virus. Now, I already know I'm not going to convince everybody. I already know that. But some of you have put your trust somewhat in, you've asked me questions, you've sent me emails saying, Pastor, these vaccines are coming. They use messenger RNA. Is this going to rewrite our DNA? Should we get those or not? People have asked me. Now, I have an obligation to tell you the truth, whether you want to hear it or not. What I could do is join the anti-vaccine bandwagon, and I could get thousands more hits on my YouTube channel, like everybody else does. But I can't do that simply because that's what most people believe and it's popular. I have to tell you the truth, whether you or anybody else wants to believe it or not. I have to tell you what's true. Okay? And some people will appreciate it. Some people will hate me. I'm used to that already. I've been doing this 11 years, and I've learned that some people, you just can't convince them of anything that's true. They've already made up their mind how right they are, and if I contradict anything that some people believe, they're not going to believe me no matter how much evidence I give, no matter how much scripture I give, they're not going to believe me no matter what I say. So this is for those of you who literally want to know the truth. And I understand that if I counsel you wrong and I tell you to go get a vaccine, and it actually gives you the mark of the beast, I'm going to be held accountable by God for that. So I don't take this lightly. I've been praying about this, and I've been doing some research about it, and I've been thinking, meditating on it, not going om, om, it, not emptying my mind, thinking it through, thinking biblically through this issue. All right. So let's start. Psalm 139, 16, this is the verse that teaches us that DNA is a book. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So, what this means is, here's all the members. Fingers, you're ugly. Why are your elbows so ugly? Why don't your elbows look as pretty as your face does? It's because you don't rest the weight of your body on your face. You will rest the weight of your upper body on your elbows. So the skin at your elbows has to be very flexible, but it has to be very thick. And usually thick, flexible skin is ugly, while facial skin is thin and pretty. Okay? Armpits, lips, toes, eyes, your liver, the snot that your body produces is produced by DNA. Okay? The brain tissues, all produced by DNA. And then I will explain how it does it here in a little bit. Okay? So not only are all the members written, but how all the members were made are written in DNA. All right? In thy book, DNA, all my members were written. Now you can apply that, look at it like this. In thy book, DNA, all the members of a family were written, husband and wife, They joined their DNA together. They mingled their seed together. 23 chromosomes from the man, 23 from the woman. They came together and they wrote out the children. The children look like the parents, which in continuance was fashioned. So when as yet there was none of them. This is day three or day one of conception. It's just one cell. But in the book of DNA, it has everything all written out how it's going to make that body. It's a book of prophecy. So after the first 5-6 days, it still looks like a bunch of circles with stuff in it. But then, after, like on the day of Pentecost, and for the few weeks after Pentecost, everybody had the same mind. They all shared everything in common. They all believed the same way, and they were all one. They all looked alike. But then something happened. Cell differentiation. After a while, the cells didn't look alike. They didn't act the same way. So cells that were heart-beating cells, they started grouping together and dividing and making more heart cells. Meanwhile, skin cells started grouping together and making more skin cells, bone cells, liver cells, stomach cells, brain cells, hair, teeth, fingernails. All the cells started being different, and yet they were from the same DNA source. Now, here's something to understand. You have trillions of cells in your body. Almost all of those cells has its own copy of the source DNA. And all of those, every cell in your body and the DNA that's in every cell of your body matches every other cell with DNA in it. In other words, every copy of DNA that you have in your body is exactly like every other copy of DNA that you have in your body. That's what makes you, that's what keeps you being you. Okay? So then look at it. Here's DNA stands for deoxyribonucleic acid, packaged in 46 chromosomes, placed inside the cell nucleus. So we know what the nucleus is. It's the tabernacle. The cell, the tabernacle, the cell has various parts to it. The cell nucleus, that would be the most holy place. That's where your DNA, your original source DNA, is stored. Okay? Now, whenever something needs to be done, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself because I'm going to explain later about DNA transcription, DNA translation. But whenever something needs to be done in your body, it doesn't remove the source DNA that's in your nucleus. It makes a copy of it. Why? Because the source DNA that's in the nucleus needs to remain untouched. Okay? It's not, and here's one thing I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to repeat this often. It is extremely difficult to rewrite the DNA in every cell of your body. It's extremely, in fact, it takes a key to unlock it because it's a sealed book, just like what God has in his right hand. Okay? Anyway, so in your cell also is the mitochondria. The mitochondria is the altar that's in the tabernacle because the mitochondria takes in sugar from your blood, burns it, and uses that for energy. Just like the altar in the tabernacle, they bring the sacrifices in, which was usually meat of some kind or flour or olive oil, anything that can be eaten and burned. And they would put it on the altar and burn it. And what happens when you burn it? It generates light and heat. Let me tell you what else is in the cell. Levite priests, ribosomes. Ribosomes are the factories of the cell. Because let's say that you need, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to show you the PowerPoints either today or tomorrow. Let's say that my body needs to make some more, blood cells. How does it do it? Do I drink blood to get blood? No, we're not supposed to drink blood. What happens is a copy of my DNA is transcribed, and the ribosomes read that. There's a mechanism in there that reads the RNA, the DNA, which RNA is single strand. It reads the RNA, and it starts putting proteins together and building a red blood cell, and then it releases it into the bloodstream. Once it's made, it releases it into the bloodstream. So those are the parts of the cell. The Levite priests are the functionaries of the cell. They're the ones who do the things that need to be done inside the tabernacle. If the tabernacle has no Levite priests, then there's no one there to perform the functions of the tabernacle. Does that make sense? Okay. So you have ribosomes in your cells that are part of the things that make the cell do what the cell is supposed to do. What we know about DNA, it's rolled up in a helix form, twisted, crooked, has two spines made of sugar and phosphorus, linked together by four compounds, adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. And what links adenine and thymine together is what's called a hydrogen bond. Hydrogen. Water. What happens when you lick your hand or you lick a piece of paper and stick it to a window? Does the paper fall off? No. The water somehow makes it stick to the window. So the adenine and the thymine are held together by hydrogen bonds. Just like water can make something sticky. That's how adenine and thymine and guanine and cytosine are held together. They're bound together. They're rolled up. And I want you to keep in mind that if something is sealed, who is the only one who can unseal it? Jesus. So, in the course of all this, I'm going to ask you a question. If Jesus is the only one who can either unseal or allow something to be unsealed, and you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, do you think that Jesus would let you accidentally receive the mark of the beast by some mechanism, unrolling your DNA, breaking the hydrogen seals, and rewriting it? No. Jesus is not going to let anyone who is born again receive the mark of the beast. He's not going to let you do it. Don't live in fear, people. Don't live in fear. Now, me, I'm telling you this, I'm full of fear. But about different things. One of the things that I am not afraid of, I am not afraid that I'm going to accidentally or be tricked into taking the mark of the beast. Jesus won't let me. Okay? So I'm not in fear of that. I'm not in fear that if I get a flu shot, that they snuck the mark of the beast in a flu shot, and I didn't know it, and I just thought I was getting a flu shot, and they gave me a flu shot. All of a sudden, I find out it's got the mark of the beast in it, and it's too late. See, I'm not afraid of that. I'm telling you, my Savior loves me infinitely more than I could ever love him back. And he promised me, even if I took up a serpent, that it wouldn't harm me. You see what I'm saying? So I don't live in, there are some things I am afraid of, yes. But one of the things I'm not afraid of is accidentally or being conned into taking the mark of the beast, thinking that I'm just getting a soda pop or a vaccine or whatever. Okay? The four bases, adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine, think Bible. The two rungs represent the Old and New Testament. The four bases are the four gospels that bind the Old and the New Testament together. And the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are the story of Jesus that make the rest of the Bible make sense. Once we understand the story of Jesus from the four gospels, we can then read the whole rest of the Bible and go, it makes sense now. I get it. I get what all the Old Testament secrets and mysteries were about. I get who that rock was and who that lamb was and who that high priest was. I get it now because of those four gospels. And here's what's interesting. What makes the things of our body, the genes, they're not in the rungs. They're in the four base pairs that are in the middle, the four gospels, the Word. The Word is in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine, because it's the combination of those four bases that make the words of DNA. Like Morse code, or like binary code, but I'll explain it like Morse code. So Morse code, for the only Morse code that I know is SOS. S is dot, dot, dot. O is dash, 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 and then S again is dot, dot, dot. So if you ever hear dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, 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 some of these new LED flashlights that you can buy, you press the button once, it turns flashlight on, you press the button again, and it'll flash. You press it again, it'll send out an SOS signal in light. Three short bursts of light, three long bursts of light, that's an O. Three short bursts of light, that's SOS. That signals to somebody that you are in trouble and you need help. Well, DNA operates the same way. The way, if let's say you have adenine here, then guanine here, and then guanine here. So you have one, two, three. You have three base pairs. Well, that forms a letter. And each individual letter then needs other letters to follow. So every three base pairs that are together make another letter. Once you have enough letters, you have a word. And then once you have enough words, you have a sentence. You have instructions on what to do. And isn't that what Paul said concerning the Word of God? That they are the instructions for us. Okay, that the man of God may be perfect and truly furnished unto all good works. So, there are 64 possible combinations of these three bases. Each codon is, it's a combination of three of the four base pairs together. So if I have up on the screen, I need a pen here. Boy, I wish I could breathe out my nose. If you have adenine, uracil, and guanine, and here's the difference between DNA and RNA. RNA is single strand. DNA is double strand. When it's single strand, you don't have thymine, you have uracil. Now, I don't know why. I just know that that's what makes thymine different. Like John is different than the other three Gospels. Thymine's different than the other three bases is because when RNA is joined together to become DNA, uracil is taken out and it's replaced with thymine. Again, I don't know why, but that's how God designed it. So you could have adenine, uracil, guanine. That would be like this letter. Then you have the next sequence is adenine, cytosine, guanine. That would be another letter. Okay? So every time you have three of these bases together, it makes another letter that will eventually make a word. So let's say we were going to make this amino acid, whatever that is. So let's say the combination of this, this, and this, which let's say in Morse code would be a dot, a dash, a dot, the letter R, that would make this amino acid. And there's 22 of them that can be made by the... And think about this verse. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? One. Notice the rule of DNA. How many combinations does it take to make one letter? The three. These three are one letter. Isn't that cool? I like this. So let's say it makes the letter B. So then you would need other combinations, three more to make another letter, and then three more to make another letter. Now you have a gene because you have the letters put together to make a word. There are 22 amino acids, 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and we know this from reading Psalm 119 because in Hebrew, in the Hebrew version of Psalms, the first word of every eight verses starts out with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet that comes next. So like in Psalm 119 verse 1 in Hebrew, the very first word starts out with an aleph. And then in Psalm 119 verse 9, because it's every eight verses, the first word of verse 9 in Hebrew starts out with the letter Beth, and then it goes in alphabetical order. But the bottom line is there's 22 amino acids, 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, telling us that God wrote DNA out of letters, just like He wrote the Old Testament of our Bible. That, to me, is amazing. And see, this is why I'm taking this issue of a COVID vaccine so seriously. I have a responsibility to tell you the truth. I can't get this wrong. Because if I told you to take that it's okay for you to take something that I find out would rewrite your DNA permanently, then I'm a very bad false prophet. And I've begged God all the time, God, I don't want to lie to people. Number one, I don't want to lie to people so I could be popular and get a lot of people on the internet to listen to me. Because that's what happens. Secondly, I don't want to lie to people because I don't want the reputation of being a liar. I don't. A lot of you people put a certain amount of confidence in the fact that if I say something, then I'm always going to have the scripture to back it up. And you trust that. And that's a trust that I never want to violate. So I want to be able to always convey to you the truth. Okay? All right, now. Psalm 119, greater thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. All right, wait a minute, I'm hitting the wrong button here. All right, this is what DNA looks like, a ladder. When it's straightened out and being read, but when it's not being read in its natural state, it's coiled up, it's twisted, it's rolled up like a scroll. The fact that it has a sugar and a phosphate backbone. Psalm 119, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. That's the sugar part. The phosphate, phosphorus, is light. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And this is how I learn things. I don't have an extremely high IQ. I don't know what my IQ is. I think I'm probably average, normal. So some things I don't understand, and they have to be reduced down to a way that I can understand it. And so things have to make sense to me and they have to be easily understood. That way I can then tell you in a way that you will understand. And that's what I'm attempting to do by re-educating you about DNA to then answer the question about not just a COVID vaccine, but anything else that could come in the future that might potentially not be a good idea. Or it might be okay. Because one of the things that I hate is how people invent sins to put people under them. Some people invent, and I mentioned this earlier, they invent sins. And then when you do something that they have decided in their mind is a sin, they jump all over you. I did it years ago, probably 2009 or 2010. I did a Watchmen broadcast. And I was going to make fun of Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama basically said that people who eat junk food and who overeat and who have a high cholesterol diet, they're the same as terrorists because they're destroying our country. So I started the Watchmen broadcast out pulling McDonald's cheeseburgers and French fries out of a bag and eating it while I read that story. And the comments that I got, oh my goodness. These people accused me of being in the Illuminati because I was eating McDonald's hamburgers. Don't you know McDonald's is in the Illuminati and they're trying to kill us all? That's what I got accused of. I got accused of committing a sin that, according to the Bible, is not a sin. So I don't like people putting other people in bondage. It's the same reason why John Wycliffe had the Bible translated from the Latin into English because he got tired of the other Catholic priest putting the people of England, his own people, in bondage. And he said if they could just hear the word of God in their own language and read it for themselves, they would know that that priest is lying through their teeth to them. And that's what I'm wanting to do with many of you. Because the truth does what? Makes us free. And I don't want anybody to put you in bondage by making you afraid of something that is never going to happen. I still have up on the wall here this alleged whistleblower who allegedly sat in with Prime Minister Trudeau and heard that by the end of December, there's going to be concentration camps everywhere. I still have that on the wall. And at the end of December, I'm going to pull that down. I'm going to read it to you again to remind you that that was somebody who was trying to scare you to death, putting you in bondage to fear. I don't like it. I don't like people who do that to other people. All right. So, if you will read the Bible, the entrance of the Word of God will give you light. It will give you understanding to the simple. So, you don't know how to make a virus. You don't know, or a vaccine. You don't know how vaccines work. You don't know what's in them. And the only way that I could be able to answer the question to you is, can I take this COVID vaccine, or can I take any vaccine, or can I take a messenger RNA vaccine or a messenger RNA medicine of any kind? The only way that I can give you the correct answer is from the Word of God. Because I know for a fact I'm not going to find the correct answer from the internet. I know that for a fact. I don't always trust what pharmaceutical companies say, and I don't trust what right-wing conspiracy theorists say on the internet. I don't trust the whole lot of them. The one thing I trust above everything is the Word of God. Let's see here. When I looked, this is Ezekiel. When I looked, and behold, and a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. That roll of a book is exactly how DNA looks. It looks like a rolled up book. Ezekiel 3:3, and he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I gave thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And it gave him light, because now he knows what words to say to the people, because he ate the book of the Word of God. Revelation 10:10, and he took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. So we have two witnesses, Old and New Testament, that tell us that the Bible, the rolled up book that God has, tastes sweet, tasted like honey, and the fact that DNA is made of sugar, just like honey is. That's how we know they're connected. That when God speaks of one, he's speaking of another. Because they're both written by God, and they're both exactly identical one to another. Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When God said that his word is a fire, it could mean, number one, fire burns things up. That's one thing it does. But what does fire also do? Give us light. Phosphorus, when you have bullets dipped in phosphorus, when you fire the bullet at night, you can trace the bullet's path, because the phosphorus is burning off of it, giving light. They're called tracer bullets. And your DNA is made of phosphorus, literally. It gives us light. The two rungs, Old Testament and New Testament, Paul said, but if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? So that means that even though it's the Old Testament, it's still glorious. And what does the word glorious mean? It means it shines with a great light. The glory of the Lord. It's the light that shines out of the Lord. That's His glory. So, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, both of them shine with the glory of God. Why? Because DNA is made out of phosphorus. And your Bible are words of light. Think of the first four words that we have recorded in our Bible that God said, let there be light. First words recorded from God's own mouth in the Bible, let there be light. And there was light. This is the book of in Genesis 5. This is the book of notice the word gene in generations. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created the man in the likeness of God made he him, for as in Adam all die. So you have the book of generations, the Old Testament, the book of genes, then Matthew chapter 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, Jesus genes. Even so, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. By the way, Adam lived 930 years. And the 930th chapter of the Bible is Matthew chapter 1. Isn't that amazing? I love that. Last occurrence of the word book. And this is now, this is why I'm taking the time to let's explain DNA again, how it works, and what we can and cannot do with it. This is the last occurrence of the word book. In other words, DNA is written just like a book. And I've never heard a scientist, a DNA scientist yet say, wow, the more I look at the genetic structure of DNA, the more I believe in God. Their foolish heart's so darkened that they can't say it. They were amazed when they first figured out how to read DNA. They were amazed at how organized it was. They thought they would see just a random mumbo jumbo in the DNA of whatever creature, humans or butterflies or worms or amoebas. They thought they would just see this random mixed up thing, but that's not what they found out. They found out that DNA is very organized and that it's organized in such a way as that it has letters, words, and paragraph markers and periods and capital letters sometimes. In other words, they found out that it's organized exactly the way a book is organized. And as of this date, we know of nothing in nature that can write an organized, understandable book out of nothing. There is no force in nature whatsoever that could write DNA. Let me stop and explain while we're here at Revelation 22 how evolutionists see the creation of the first cell. The first cell that had life in it. Because let's explain the parts of the cell. You have the cell wall or the cell membrane, something that separates all of the bad stuff on the outside from all the good stuff on the inside. That had to be made. Then you had to have a nucleus inside of that cell membrane. And then you had to have the mitochondria, which would allow the cell to bring in nutrients to burn them for fuel, for energy, so that the cell would have the energy to replicate itself. Then you would have to have the ribosomes, which take the DNA, read it, transcribe it, translate it, make the proteins to actually add other parts to the living organism. And then in the nucleus, you had to have phosphorus and sugar make the outer rungs, adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine already automatically there and arranged in a certain order so that the very first cell could come to life and then reproduce itself. Because that's what really denotes life. Something that can process nutrients to produce energy and then create an exact duplicate of itself so that the organism can continue to live. And science, evolutionary science, wants you to believe that all of those things that I just described, and there's much more to a cell than I haven't explained, but those are the basics. Science wants you to believe that there was a pool of all the right substances. Lightning must have struck it, or something must have happened to get that very first cell formed and alive. And it all happened by accident. That's what they want you to believe. Now, does it take more faith to believe that there is a God who organized that cell, or that the cell accidentally organized itself out of no outside help or hand or any other mechanism making it? Because again, there is nothing in nature that makes DNA out of nothing. There's nothing there. So if you cannot in your mind believe that the very first living cell formed itself, by accident, and was perfectly formed on that first day that life showed up on this earth, if you cannot imagine any way possible for that to happen, then somebody had to have done it. And that somebody was God. So God said, this is the last occurrence of the word book in the Bible. I testify for Revelation 22:18, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Why? It's a simple copyright. And it's simple contract law. That if you have a contract with somebody, a written, signed, multi-page contract with somebody, generally they will get you to initial all of the pages somewhere. Put your initials somewhere so that you know that you have all of the pages of this contract. And then at the end of the contract will usually say, after this is signed and dated, it becomes enforceable, and no other oral agreement or arrangement can be added to it without the consent of both parties. Now, if you're going to rent property and your landlord offers you a lease agreement and you sign it and he signs it and it's dated and the date's whatever, as of the date that it's signed, it becomes in force. Now, if the landlord brings you a piece of paper and says, okay, I need to add something to the contract, will you agree to it? If you read it and you both sign it, then it can be added to the original lease. But the landlord can't just write up another part of the lease and add it to it without your signature. It's not enforceable. The parties have to agree. So this is what Jesus is doing. He's telling you there cannot be any additions to this book, period. If you do, I will add the plagues that are written in this book. In other words, there are punishments in the contract that if you violate the terms of the contract by trying to add to it, you get the punishments that are in the book, the contract. Number 2, verse 19, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, this is why I say that the CRISPR gene editing system is a bad, bad thing. Because if God gave you the DNA that he wanted you to have, he wanted you to have it for a reason, even if you don't like it. It's your old body. By the way, he deliberately gave us things in this body that we don't like. Why? So that we would like the offer that he makes from the New Testament to give us a new body that doesn't have these things. And we said, yes, I want that. So we agreed to the new covenant. Amen? And the new covenant says, God's going to give you a perfect body, let you live in a holy city for all of eternity, if you'll just believe what he said. So we all agreed to that. But he had to have in the contract that nobody could add to the words and nobody could take away from the words. Now that's our salvation we're talking about. So when it comes to whether or not a vaccine can be given to you, and just because somebody says, well, you're going to lose your salvation if you take that vaccine, that doesn't mean that you're actually going to lose your salvation just because somebody said that. You have to know if it's wrong or right according to the contract, the book, the Bible. Okay? And CRISPR editing and the gene drive, which I'll get into later, is a bad, bad idea. Okay? But we're not ready for that yet. It's just like the Gospels that I explained, adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine, are just like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Thymine's different. John's different than the other three Gospels. We know that we have passed from death, which is the Old Testament, to life, which is the New Testament, because of the cross and because of what's written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel. We believe that gospel, so therefore we've passed from death to life. Now, here's another way of looking at it. In thy book, all my members were written. These are the people. This is Elijah. This is Moses. This is John the Baptist. This is Paul. This is the Apostle John. Here's David. All of those men were used to put the words of the Bible in the Bible. And they're all different, aren't they? David was a musician. Elijah was a prophet. Moses was a lawgiver. John the Baptist was a preacher and a baptizer, preached repentance. Okay, the Apostle Paul was like a lawyer, a legal scholar. John is the only one who got to see heaven, the new heaven and the new earth. All of them were different. And yet all of them were used to write the words of this book. In thy book, all my members were written. Even though the members who were writing them were different types of people and at different places and different ages, God used them all to write that book. The author of the DNA book, Hebrews 5:9, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. The author is the one who wrote the book. And Hebrews 5:9 explains that the book is the book of eternal salvation. God wrote it. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of what? Our faith. That's why the Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you don't have faith, you're a sinner and you're going to hell. If you have faith, you're a saint and you're going to heaven. And who authored the book to give you faith? God did. Jesus did. 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So when we look at DNA and find out how well it's organized, same way we look at the Bible and like, oh, let's see here. This, if I say like the number 7 is the number for perfection and completion, and I go to the 70th chapter of the Bible, which is Exodus 20, and we find the Ten Commandments there, and then I type in the word king with a capital K, and I find that it's in the King James Bible exactly 70 times. Well, that's just part of what tells me that the book that God authored is not out of order and it's not confused. It's in order. Everything that God said in his book is in perfect order. The exact placement of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, the fact that the word king with a capital K was referring to Jesus 70 times in the Bible, and you know all the numbers, the King James Bible numbers, and the number of times certain words are found in the Bible, that tells me that the book is in perfect order. So, do we need to mess with any of it? No. It's all exactly the way God, the author, wanted it. And like I said, all of us have things in us, either about our physical bodies that we don't like or about our physical sinful nature that we don't like. I don't like my sin nature. I don't like it. I hate it. But why did God give it to me? Why did God allow sin to enter in the world through my parents, Adam and Eve? So that I will hate this one and want the next one. That's why he did it. The creatures made subject unto vanity, not willingly, so that the same might be subjected in hope, is what Paul said. All right, now, in thy book, this is another way of looking at it. In thy book, the Bible, all my members were written. So there's members of a local church, which in continuance were fashioned because there are still people getting saved. When as yet, let's say on the day before the day of Pentecost, there was none of them. So let's consider that on the day of Pentecost, that being the birth or the conception. The conception. And then as time went along, more members were added, but many of those members came from different places, different backgrounds, saw things a little differently. But that's okay, because God uses each member of my body differently than He uses another member of my body. But the bottom line is, everybody whose name is written in God's book of life, past, present, or future, they're all considered to be members written by the same book of DNA. This is the book of the generations of Adam. Let's see, I don't know if I want to deal with that or not. How much time do I have left? All right, this I will deal with. Revelation 5. Let me look at my notes here. DNA is a closed, sealed book. Before it can be copied, it must be opened. So we're going to get into DNA transcription translation. And I'm going to explain to you how hard it is to change DNA. It's extremely difficult. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Now, let me pull up a verse that maybe help you understand what those seven seals are. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Bible says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. How did you get saved? God's word, his DNA, came to you and conceived in you a new man. I mean, I'll explain this in a PG sort of way, but how did your first birth happen? A man, your dad, and a woman, your mom, he transmitted his seed to her, and that's what wrote the book of your first birth. God wrote the book of your second birth, which is the Word of God, the book. Sealed with seven seals. So, in whom, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, how many spirits of God are there? There are seven of them, just like the seven seals in the book that God holds in his right hand. And the seven spirits are the Spirit of the Lord, number one, the Spirit of wisdom, number two, the Spirit of understanding, three, the Spirit of counsel, four, and might, five, the Spirit of knowledge, that's six, and number seven is the fear of the Lord. So, we go back to this. So now you understand a little bit how God sealed the book and how God seals our redemption, our salvation, with the Holy Spirit of promise. And if it's sealed by God, who is the one that can open the seal? You follow what I'm saying? The devil, let's just say it like this. Do you think the devil has for thousands of years trying to find some way of rewriting man's DNA, making it permanent? I'm sure he has. You have labs all over let's say in the modern world right now, in the 21st century, there are labs all over the world working on CRISPR and a gene drive, a way to literally rewrite the entire genome of the human creature. But if that book of DNA is sealed, can just anybody, like a vaccine company, unseal it on their own? No. Only Jesus can do that. And has he done it yet? In other words, when you read the book of Revelation, and as Jesus opens those seals, have those things started happening yet? No. They haven't. And I don't believe that a COVID vaccine is going to do that. I don't believe it. The book is sealed to show authority. Why is it sealed? What does sealing in the Bible do? Number one, it's you seal something to show authority. Kings would write a letter out or a dictate or a command of some kind. And then they would put sealing wax melted on the paper, and the king would use his signet on his ring or some kind of seal with markings on it. They would impress it into the wax that would give it his authority. So a sealed book is sealed to show authority or that its contents are authorized. 1 Kings 21, so she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. Ezra 8, write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Okay, so that's, are you looking at Esther 8:8? If your DNA is sealed, only the author can unseal it. He has the rights to it. Now, there is going to come a time when God is going to allow the fourth kingdom to mingle themselves with the seed of men. But unless God allows it, it can't happen. It can't happen. Okay? You understand? You're going to believe what the internet's telling you. You're going to believe what the Bible's telling you. See, it's sealed to preserve its contents. Isaiah 8:16, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Bind it and seal it. That way it's protected. We put important papers in safety deposit boxes. Why? So that the contents of what's on those papers, like the title, let's say that you own a house and some land and a car, and you have the title to your land and your house and your whatever in a safe deposit box, and another copy is registered at the courthouse in case you lose your copy or like your birth certificate. In case you lose that or something happens to it, there is an original copy at the local courthouse where they keep records, And for a fee, you can get a copy of it. They're going to preserve it for you. This is how also our book of DNA is sealed. And so while I'm here, let me explain this. About DNA change and how hard it is. Just like I've explained, let's say that your neighbor comes to you and says, half of the stuff in your yard, he's going to take it because he's got a title showing that half of your yard actually belongs to him. Now, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to say, oh man, I'm sorry. Here, take my car and you can have this half of my house because, I mean, you wouldn't lie to me about something like that, would you? What are you going to do? You're going to go either get your copy of the title to your property or you're going to go to the courthouse. You'll probably have to take him to court. But if you have the original copy of the title of your land, it'll have on there the boundaries of your land. And you'll win in court. You see what I'm saying? Let me illustrate it a different way. Let's say that you're listening to something on YouTube, or you're listening to a blog, you're reading a blog, you're reading a book, or you're on vacation and you go to some church somewhere, and a verse is read to you, and you say to yourself, that don't sound like the King James. What's the first thing you do? Open up your King James. You find out where the verse that he read came from. Let's say it's Romans 8, whatever. And you read it in the King James. And you say, well, what he just read did not match what I just read in my King James. Automatically now, you know that what the guy on YouTube or the book or the blog or the sermon preacher or whatever, you know now that he didn't read out of the King James. He didn't quote that verse out of the King James. So are you going to accept or reject what he said? You're going to reject it, right? Now, let me explain DNA change to you. Tens of thousands of times every single day, your DNA gets altered in certain parts of your body. Solar radiation wreaks havoc on our bodies. Solar radiation reaches into our bodies and it corrupts the DNA in some of our cells. So here's what your body's going to do. Your body's going to do one of several things. When, let's say, solar radiation corrupts the DNA in some of your cells, your body is either going to destroy the cell, or there's a way to correct the corruption, because remember, you've got a trillion cells in your body, all of them with the exact same copy of your DNA. It'll either correct it or it'll get rid of the cell. Now, sometimes that fails, and that's how people get cancer. Because one of the things about cancer is cancer, once it invades a cell and it corrupts the DNA, part of what's in your DNA is called planned cellular death or something like that. In other words, a cell is created from other from another cell, from a host cell, and it does whatever it's going to do for a while, and then that cell is programmed to die off. And one of the things about cancer is if it corrupts the part of the DNA that controls programmed cell death, then the cell won't die. It'll just keep making more cells that won't die, and that's how you get a tumor. Okay? Now, it's not just solar radiation. Sometimes chemicals that we breathe in, chemicals that might be in the containers of some of the food that we eat. You remember years ago, we were hearing that genetically modified food, if you ate genetically modified food, it would rewrite your DNA. Okay? But that hasn't really been proven to be true. But even if it did, your body has a way of correcting the attempted change or corruption of your DNA back to the original copy. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'll go back to the illustration of you're reading a book, you're hearing a blog, you're hearing a YouTube video, and somebody's trying to give you a bunch of verses that you know don't sound right. And you check them against the King James and you say, that ain't right. I don't believe that. I'll stick with the King James. Has that ever happened? Yes, it happens all the time with us. And that's God's way in us of telling us we reject any other translation of the Bible except the King James. And that same mechanism is in your body. So, let's say that the COVID vaccine or some other medicine that you take has as a side effect that it might rewrite the DNA in one of your cells. Does that mean you're going to turn into one of Bill Gates' zombies? No. Because the purpose that God has built into your body of correcting DNA, correcting his word. What is the scriptures itself tell us that it does? Let me show you what Paul said, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for what? For correction. Isn't that amazing? That God has built into the Bible the ability to correct us when we're wrong. Or the ability for us to check out what somebody else says to see that what they said was wrong. It's the same way in our DNA. Our DNA is designed so that if something comes in to try to rewrite our DNA or corrupt our DNA in some way, our DNA, our bodies have a mechanism in place to correct it back to its original form. Do we not believe that God has preserved his word for us in the day that we're living right now? Do we not believe that? Yes. So, doesn't the same thing then apply to our DNA? Did God build into us, into our bodies, the ability to correct corrupted DNA. Yes. Yes. Now, again, we know at some point God is going to allow the fourth kingdom to mingle themselves with the seed of men, making, I guess, an addition to man's DNA. But for right now, that book is sealed. And that fourth kingdom can't do it. God won't let them. He won't let them. Jeremiah 32:14, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. What is the earthen vessel? We are. And God always has a sealed copy of our DNA, just in case the unsealed copies that are being used to make the parts of our body get corrupted. We can always go back to the source inside the cell nucleus to check it to make sure that it was copied correctly. Isn't that cool? 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See, it tells us that we're the earthen vessels that he was talking about in Jeremiah 32. So we have our DNA sealed up. And according to the Bible, the only one in the universe, in all of heaven, who has the power and the ability to unseal is Jesus Christ. Not Moderna, not Eli Lilly, not AstraZeneca, not Bill Gates, not even the devil, Jesus Christ. Daniel 12, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Now, there is, apparently according to this, there's coming a time when Daniel's sealed book is going to be unsealed. Daniel 12, he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. 2 Corinthians 1:21, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So let me use now this verse to express to you the idea. Don't live in fear. The fear that a lot of these YouTube videos and a lot of these websites are trying to promote in you is that the mark of the beast is going to be secretly hidden inside a vaccine. And that the evil Illuminati is going to scare you to death with this horrible disease, and you're going to go willingly roll up your sleeve, take their vaccine, and then, oh no, now you've taken the mark of the beast and you didn't know it. That's what they're trying to tell you. But what does the Bible say? Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God, who hath God who has sealed us. If God has sealed you, can Bill Gates unseal you? Can AstraZeneca, can Eli Lilly, can Moderna, can any of the other pharmaceutical companies who make vaccines or any other kind of medicine, can they unseal you if God has sealed you? The mark of the beast is not going to be given to the saints. It's reserved for the sinners. Let me read another verse to you. have you not been born again of incorruptible seed? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So, if you've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God, are you going to ever receive the mark of the beast, knowingly or unknowingly? No. Never. It's not, God is not going to let it happen to, let's see here. How about Psalm 91? Let's read that one. That's a good one. Doesn't Psalm 91 explain to us how God is going to protect us? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. And arrows poke into your skin, don't they? So do needles. Now, I will be honest with you. I have a... Gosh, I hate to even say this. I don't like needles. I remember they had a blood drive when I was in college one time, and I signed up for it. And when it came time for me, for my appointment to go down and give blood, I walked down to where they were doing it on campus, and I stood there frozen, going, I don't want that needle in me. And I turned around and walked off. Some of the people asked me later, where were you? You missed your appointment. I said, yeah, I got busy. I had to go to work. I made up some lie because I didn't want to tell them I didn't want the needle. I don't like needles. But God said, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. See, the mark of the beast is the reward of the wicked, but it's not for the saint. You are not going to be tricked, deceived, lied, or any other way unknowingly receive the mark of the beast. No matter if it's hidden in a vaccine or if it's hidden in some genetically modified bread that you buy at Walmart or whatever. Now, you may, for conscience sake, may not want to eat that stuff. I understand that. But what I'm trying to get across to you is that if you are a true saint of the Most High God, He has made promises to you that He will absolutely protect and cover you and will not ever let you be harmed and have somebody, the devil or somebody, take away your salvation. He swore. Now, did God ever promise us we wouldn't get sick with the COVID? Most of our church did. One member died, and we have another one whose lungs have been affected by it. Brother Sterling's, man, he wants to get over this. And we heard a little good news about him. He's got one lung that sounds a lot better than it did. One lung doesn't, but you can live on one lung. And I know of somebody else from our church who is still suffering from the effects of COVID a month ago. What was it? Let's see. This is the end of... All right. We've already been through November. That was back in the half part of December, the first part of October. It's been a month and a half. And they're still having problems as a result of COVID. I'm still craving mushroom burgers and apple juice. Okay? So, obviously, we didn't commit some big sin as a church when God let us catch COVID. It just happened. I've had the flu before. I've had other sicknesses before. Doesn't mean we won't ever get sick. But it does mean that when it comes to my salvation, if I continue to abide under God's wings, God's going to protect me from it. I won't get the mark of the beast, period. Knowingly or unknowingly. Okay? So, let's see what else. We got a little time left here. Ephesians 1, I read that, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The whole purpose of the Bible and the Holy Ghost, the Bible and the Holy Ghost always work together, is to convince you that you don't have to worry about getting the mark of the beast. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You're sealed. God's got a coating of protection around you. He won't let it happen to you. Sealed, kept in preservation until specified time, sealing a time capsule. Like sealing a time capsule. Is this not laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? Deuteronomy 32. Daniel 9. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Again, for Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The purpose of sealing is to preserve things, like back in the old days when people used to can their garden vegetables, or when they used to make jelly and jams, they would preserve them. That's the purpose of sealing the book. So let me ask you this. Do you really believe that our King James Bible is the preserved Word of God? Yes. Who preserved it? God. Did he allow? Jesus laid in the tomb for 3 days, dead. But did God let corruption affect Jesus' dead body? No. He would not allow his Holy One to see corruption. Does he not then call us his holy saints? Yes. He will not allow us to see corruption. You're not going to lose your salvation from a vaccine or from a pill or from a piece of bread or a slice of pizza. He's not going to let you, even if the serpent bit you in your soul, God's going to protect you from his poison. Does that make sense? cases of DNA. It is sealed to preserve its content, sealed to show its authority, sealed until a specified time, such as DNA expression, when a protein such as insulin is needed in the body, or when the cell is ready to duplicate itself. Now, I'm running out of time. Tomorrow, if it works out, tomorrow, 12 o'clock, live. If it doesn't work out, then I promise you by Thursday night or Friday, I'm going to show you about, I'm going to teach you about DNA translation, DNA transcription, and then I'm going to show you how the two COVID vaccines that are at the forefront now, how they work. And unless they change something at the last second, I'm going to show you whether or not it's okay biblically to receive that vaccination. Now, again, those of you who are totally 100% anti-vaccines, I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to defile your conscience. I wouldn't do that. I'm not going to poke fun at you. I'm not going to be angry at you. But I stick with what I'm saying. That if I truly felt that vaccines were a sin against God, then I wouldn't have taken them to go to Kenya in 2011. Now, do they have things in them that are potential poisons? Maybe, I don't know. But I was willing to risk that to go minister in Kenya. And you know what? They didn't cause me any harm. Either because there's no harm there, or God didn't allow it to happen. But again, I'm not going to try to defile the conscience of anybody who is just against vaccines wholesale. You're not going to get vaccinated no matter what, no matter what it is. I'm not going to defile your conscience. I'm not trying to be your enemy. So I'm going to ask you to respect my disagreement with you. That once I tell you something, I'm going to tell it to you based upon what I can see in the Word of God. Because on the judgment, I'm not going to be judged against what's on the internet, am I? I'm going to be judged against what's in God's Word. Period. And if God doesn't say it's a sin, I can't say it's a sin, and neither can you, whether you've been doing it or not. All right? This is Pastor Mike. Let me do this. Let me play this. You're the reason why I do what I do. I love you. I care about you. And I care about the truth. No matter how famous it makes me on YouTube, how many views I get or don't get, I have to concern myself with what's true. And I have a responsibility to tell you what's true. And I'm going to do it out of love, because I care about you. And I appreciate you and your love for our ministry and our work. Thank you very much for loving us and loving the people of Kenya and supporting the ministry that God has given us the way you have. Thank you very much for that. Always think Bible.